You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Over the weekend, a shooter in Orlando, Florida, killed 49 people and injured at least 53 at a gay nightclub. This is the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history, and it's left the LGBT community and many others in mourning.
Yesterday, President Obama gave a statement on the shooting, condemning how easy it is to get an assault rifle.
This massacre is therefore a further reminder of how easy it is for someone to get their hands on a weapon that lets them shoot people in a school or in a house of worship or a movie theater or in a nightclub.
The suspect used a military-inspired semi-automatic rifle, the same weapon used in several other mass shootings in the United States, including the shooting last December in San Bernardino, California.
Congressman Mark Pocan joins us now to share his reaction to the shooting. He represents Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. He's also co-chair of Congress's LGBT Equality Caucus. Congressman Pocan, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So what was your initial reaction when you first heard news of the shooting in Orlando?
You know, I first heard about it the morning, and I heard there were 20 deaths, and just, you know, again, horrified by yet another mass shooting, not even knowing at the time what the circumstances were. And then to find out, you know, it went up to 49 people, to find out that it was targeted at an LGBT club during Pride Month, and to find out that it was someone who was self-radicalized, it just hits so many areas that we're not dealing with in Congress. And I think just a real frustration that I'm tired of moments of silence on the floor of Congress. It's time for moments of action.
And in the statement you released this morning about the shooting, you say, though, that you don't think Congress will do anything about the issues brought up by this shooting. Why not?
Well, you know, one, Congress has just been really, honestly, too chicken to address the epidemic of military-style assault weapons. They're afraid they're going to upset the NRA and gun manufacturers, so we just simply don't deal with it other than to have more moments of silence. Secondly, it's the very rhetoric on the floor of Congress and by our candidates for office when it comes to talking about Muslims, when it talks about people who are LGBT, that just that, you know, a couple weeks ago on the floor of Congress, we're putting in amendments to bills that were completely unrelated to roll back protections in employment for gays and lesbians, and then we're shocked when these kind of actions happen. We have to have a disconnect between the rhetoric that we use in order to score political points and the reality of what that has to real people's lives, and how someone like this, you know, is obviously crazy as this person was to commit such a horrific act, when he sees justification or he sees in his mind a member of Congress, you know, blaming, or a presidential candidate blaming all Muslims, this just somehow reinforces what they do. And we have to be much more careful, I think, as members of Congress and as elected officials.
You packed a lot into there, and I want to pull a few threads out of there. Going back to the military-style assault weapons, what justification do you hear from your colleagues in Congress for making sure that a vast number of people in this country can go out and buy these military-style weapons?
Well, you know, they always have an excuse how, you know, this is the Second Amendment. And let's face it, we didn't have military-style weapons when the Second Amendment was passed. There's a whole half-hour discussion we could have just on that point. But the bottom line is, when it's that easy for someone like this individual who was often on a watch list to be able to purchase that weapon and then use it for mass destruction, that's a problem. And we need to either directly address these assault weapons, or at minimum address people who are on watch lists shouldn't be able to buy a weapon. They can fly. They can't fly in this country. They're not allowed to fly in an airplane, but they can buy guns, and the Republicans are unwilling to do anything about that. I just think there's some really common sense measures that I think the vast majority of the public can really agree with that would really make it so that we don't have to constantly have these tragedies.
So if this mass shooting doesn't bring back the ban on military-style assault rifles, and the attack on Sandy Hook and kindergartners and teachers didn't bring back the ban on military assault rifles, is there anything that will, in your opinion?
Well, the best thing we have going for us is the ballot box in November, and the single best way to influence a politician is to give them the hook and fire them and elect people who will do something if they won't. I think that may be the best way, because I think the public is way ahead of us on this. When I posted on Facebook my comments on this, I believe it might be the single greatest response I've had in about 3.5 years from people. The public certainly is fed up with this. They're fed up with the inaction in Congress, and they're fed up with how easy it is for someone to get an assault rifle and to do something like this. And if we can't respond, people are going to respond for us, and that's what they can do at the ballot box.
But wouldn't you say also that the NRA has such wide-reaching influence that it's not just a matter of one party or the other? There are many members of Congress who are taking money from the NRA.
Yeah, but what I'm looking at, you know, who sponsors the bills and who's blocking the action, there's unfortunately one political party right now that's doing that, and that's the leadership party. So that's our first problem we have, is how do you get to the floor of Congress the opportunity to vote on a ban on military-style assault weapons? How do you get to the floor of Congress the ability to stop someone who's on a watch list from buying a gun? And the only way that happens is for the Speaker and the majority party to put it there. So that is kind of our first line of attack on this. But I think that, you know, people, again, are just completely fed up, and I think they have to speak out. And you can stand up to the NRA, and I think, you know, the vast majority of responsible gun owners will do that. I mean, we're not saying taking away your hunting rifle in Wisconsin. I mean, that's a very different situation. But no one goes out hunting with a military-style assault weapon that can cause this kind of tragedy this quickly.
We're talking with Congressman Mark Pocan. He represents Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. He's also the co-chair of Congress's LGBT Equality Caucus. And Congressman Pocan, as a gay man, what is your reaction to this shooting aside from your position as a member of Congress?
Well, you know, I think this is just one of those reminders, unfortunately, that even though we've had a lot of progress in things like marriage equality and the public support and understanding that they want to respect everyone regardless of who you love, that there are still people who want to fight against basic equality, and sometimes their language and their actions can be such that really elicit things like this. I mean, I remember, God, 27 or so years ago when I was beaten by two people with a baseball bat simply for being gay. This still happens in America in 2016, and when someone in Congress does something that adds to the ability that someone might act on that, that's simply wrong. And you know, I think when I see something like this, it's just that reminder there's so much more work left to do. Even though this person, some people might say, you know, was an extremist or was crazy, I can count, I can show you scores of other times where someone has had hate speech or hate actions because I think all too often people accept discrimination still. So it was really, I think, painful for me to see just that many people in such, you know, sorrow over what happened. And you got to remember the victims and their families at a time like this.
As you said, violence against the LGBT community is certainly nothing new, but this shooting on the scale of the tragedy is certainly unusual and unique. How do you think this shooting will affect the LGBT community nationwide?
Well, you know, first, I know a lot of people are very scared right now. I've seen comments on social media and other, you know, just that they feel like we finally we're moving into a place of equality, and then you see things like this happen. But I just would remind everyone is, you know, look at the fight we're still having over the Confederate flag in the South. We have to find our alliances with others who also are struggling, who also are trying to fight for getting to be treated fairly and with respect. And we have to really band together on this. And I think that, you know, whether you're someone who is African-American, whether you're someone who's gay or lesbian, someone who is Jewish or Muslim, we should be able to, you know, all stand together that discrimination of any kind is wrong. And I think if we do that, I think it will give us the strength to realize that the vast majority of people are supportive. It's just really a small number, but a vocal number that aren't.
You mentioned early in the interview that this is an example of someone becoming self-radicalizing, but the father of the suspect said that this didn't have anything to do with religion. This was really something that his son did because he was so offended by seeing two men kissing a month earlier in Miami. Do you think that pointing to the religious and ethnic background of the shooter is actually weakening the element of homophobia that this attack represents?
Well, I think the fact that he, you know, declared allegiance to ISIS on the phone as he's doing it tells us his father maybe wants to think of his son in a certain way. But the reality is this is someone who acted and said it was something in allegiance to ISIS. And again, just coming back from the Middle East and, you know, talking to Palestinians and who've, you know, laid down our arms, are trying to find peace in a two-state solution with the vast majority of people who are Jewish and Palestinian, and yet when you still see the injustices, you know, when you have a population of 50% under 18, that's what breeds someone who could potentially be a terrorist. And, you know, I just think I heard it over and over and over, you know, if we had just in that one region, that one example, if you took that away, and if we actually had a peace process that worked, you would take away the largest argument that these extremists like ISIS have. So I do think that our actions have consequences, and certainly our words, like Donald Trump when he says we're going to ban all Muslims, grouping an entire set of people together very unfairly and very discriminatory, it doesn't help us to get what our goals are across the world.
Acknowledging that you are not part of the majority party in Congress right now, but what do you as a U.S. congressman plan to do in response to this tragedy to try to affect change?
Well, one, you know, I'm going to take advantage of a speech on the floor. We get 1 minute either later today or tomorrow, and I'm going to talk just about what we're talking about. Two, you know, the Progressive Caucus, which I serve as the first vice chair, is talking about what else we can do. But member to member, we're already having this conversation today. How do we respond to yet another moment of silence that goes nowhere? How do you get us to having a moment of action? How do we force the majority party to act? And I think that's the discussions we're going to have this week.
Congressman Pocan, thank you so much for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Judith.
That was Congressman Mark Pocan, who represents Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. He's also the co-chair of the Congressional LGBT Equality Caucus. He joined us to share his reaction to the mass shooting at a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida, that happened early yesterday morning.
Stay with us. There's more to come. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.